The following is from Abraham Hicks Workshop in Salado, Texas.
And are you refreshed?
Yes. Works for me.
Good. Now what is it you are wanting to talk about?
Talk about mating. The subtitle is The Perfect Mate. Getting one, being one, evoking one, or attracting versus attacking. My early experience, I noticed people going after one another. And typically the one that was went after didn't want the one that was coming after them. And there was always, every boy had a girl that he wanted that didn't want him, and every girl had a boy that she wanted that didn't want her, and the ones that she wanted didn't want her, the ones she didn't want did want her, and the mating thing seemed like a can of worms in the early stages of my life as I watched it and participated. And
you're speaking of rather insecure beings here, are you not? Those that are not really sure what they are wanting, they are knowing more what they are not wanting than what they are wanting at that stage. And is that not what their experience is reflecting?
Getting more of them, yes. I also, a point I'd like you to consider is the cultural aspects of mating. In other words, there are still and have been cultures that the mate is chosen for the younger beings by the older beings. In other words, they choose their husbands or their wives, as you want to call it, whatever you want to call them in those languages.
It is very much that way in your society, although you do not believe it.
Well, we believe in romantic love, that you fall in love and you get the right one and it has to fit. But whereas if somebody
But are you allowed to fall in love with those that are outside of the proper category?
No.
Do your beliefs allow it? In other words,
not easily. I my beliefs are so wide.
Did you're extreme. That is the polite way of saying weird.
For being so polite.
Indeed. So, we are uplifted by those that are weird. We are weird. By the standards that are assigned, and if the norm is that which is experienced by most, we are rather proud to be weird. In our weirdness, we have found joy. In their normalcy, they have found pain. In our weirdness, we seek joy. In their normalcy, they choose to flounder around in lack. And so a little bit of weirdness can put you in a very good place.
I noticed that we've touched on the subject. For some reason, it's come up quite a bit already since we've been here. In most of the different areas that we've covered, mating has been part of it somehow or the other. So could you give us some more insight on being the perfect mate, finding the perfect mate, and evoking the perfect mate?
Finding the perfect mate or evoking the perfect mate all come forth after you have learned how to be the perfect mate. In other words, once you have put your attention upon being the perfect mate, then the finding or the evoking of the other is an automatic experience. It could not be your experience. And how do you be one? You begin by saying, I am wanting to be joyful. I'm wanting to find my joy. Let us talk about it. What are you wanting to talk about regarding the subject?
Could you explain again something that Jerry was just asking about a little bit more thoroughly for me? And that is that it seems frequent that the wanting of someone sort of pushes them away, and the not wanting of them sort of brings them forward to you. And I've had that experience a number of times, and it kind of continues. And I don't know what the mechanisms are about that whole thing.
We can tell you very clearly what it is, for it falls right into line with the laws of the universe. The law of attraction is what we are speaking about. If you were in actuality wanting that one would come unto you. But the reality of it is, you want them, but you're afraid you can't have them. You want them, but you're worried about it. You want it, but you're focused upon the lack of it. And in your focusing upon the lack of what you want, you're evoking that from the other. It is really as simple as that.
I'd like to phrase that a different way.
Take the microphone, and then we will come back to you, for we know you are not complete.
Saying the same thing, maybe just a little bit different, might get to some other people, and that is, there's a difference between wanting and needing.
Absolutely.
And neediness, and I think that sometimes that can be confusing.
And what is the difference? Needing is focused upon the lack.
The lack.
Wanting is focused upon what you are wanting.
The wanting feels good.
Good.
It is a joyous thing. It would be, you know, a wonderful enhancement to my life.
The wanting feels adventurous.
Right.
The needing feels painful.
The needing
painful.
Feels I've got to have it. If I
good.
Don't have it, I'm going to feel bad, and it's a bad feeling, and that has been the key that I have learned.
Good.
Not only in mates or anything else, a difference between wanting out of joy or neediness out of lack.
Perfect. Let us continue. You are complete.
Okay. The second thing I wanted to ask was how to stay positively focused around another that is not aware of these kinds of gatherings at all, doesn't seem to want to be aware of these kind of gatherings at all, and tends to be focused on lack, and how to stay positively focused in those kind of circumstances where eventually it kind of gets to me that it's hard not to also feel lack.
The best thing to do is to take that in small doses. In other words, if you get yourself in a place of positive emotion, then it doesn't matter how negative the negative emotion is that touches you, you will not feel it so much. But if you have not brought yourself to that place of positive emotion, then you get swept by the current of the negative emotion, and it is harder to find your place. The process of awakening every morning and tending to look for what you are wanting to see, eventually that is what our friend was talking about as he made his opening statement, the evoking from another the perfect mate. Now, many of you are in the position now where you already have attracted someone into your experience that you are, by the beliefs that you hold, considering to be your mate. And so those of you who have mates are now in the process of wanting to evoke perfection from them. In other words, you are wanting them to be more as you are wanting your mate to be. While there are others of you who have not yet identified the specific one, who are in the process of now attracting that perfect one. And what we are wanting you to understand is that either situation that you stand in, whether you have already found the physical body and now you are just wanting to attract the behavior from it that is pleasing, or whether you are wanting to attract the behavior and the body in another, it is still the same process, and that is looking for the positive aspects in the other. You see, any time that you are involved in co-creation with another, it becomes bigger, more extended than your own personal creating. When you recognize I am the attractor of my experience, and you let what you are wanting be dominant, you can find yourself as this individual attracting very powerfully what you are wanting. Most of you, as you come to us talking about creating, are already up to your ears in co-creating. You already have somebody else in your life experience that you feel intertwined with. And so you don't feel free to be as you want to be because you think you've got this other critic or this other chooser that is right smack in the middle of your life that is has a say in what you want. What we are wanting you to understand is that it doesn't matter how many people you have very close within your experience, and no matter how much they are making what seems to be demands on you that are keeping you from feeling the freedom in the way that you are wanting, whether you have this powerful connection or whether you are a singular being, you literally have the power to evoke from them a relationship that is in harmony with the freedom and the growth and the joy that you seek. Because within each of them are those probabilities. Within each of them is a probability of someone being very understanding or not. Someone of being very pleasant or not. someone of being very open-minded or not, someone of being very positive or negative. In other words, each of them hold all of those probabilities. And the experience that you have with them has to do with what you evoke from them, absolutely. We are watching as we watch you interact with one another, and we have witnessed, and so have you, that one person will evoke one sort of one side of your personality, while another one will evoke another side of your personality. We hear it with the language that is offered, or we sense it in the emotion that comes forth. Some people just cause you to feel good when you are around them, and some people just evoke the feeling of negativity from you. And so what we are really wanting you to do, all of you, regarding any relationship that you are wanting to focus upon at this time, we are wanting you to stop blaming the other for the mess of your relationship. And we are wanting you to start acknowledging that you are the attractor of whatever you are living. You are the one. And so if the other is looking at you and saying, I don't like your fat stomach, there is something within you that has evoked that sort of response from the other. Take the responsibility of it. Recognize that there is something about you that you are not liking, that you have awakened in the other. That is your own feeling of not respect that is causing the other to feel not some respect for you. Or it may even be your seeing flaws in the other that are evoking that sort of thing from the other, you see. We offered to you an example earlier of Esther in a negative flurry, and we are not wanting to add great emphasis to that, because Esther is not, by the standards of your negative or positive world, ever in what you would call a negative state. We are talking in terms of the fine-tuning that is taking place. In other words, she was feeling some negative emotion, although it would be difficult for anyone from the outside observation to know that she was feeling negative emotion, because she is not displaying it or feeling it in a very powerful way. These are subtle differences that we are talking about. Her mate, who is very tuned in with her, knows the difference between her positive ecstasy and her less than that, or even her negative emotion. And so as she came into his experience in a negative flurry, we will say, and he did not play the negative game, that is the way to bring your relationships more to the point of positive emotion, to not be willing to play the negative game. Now, what is the negative game? That is where someone says to you, I really think you could do a better job at this. And you defend by saying, I'm doing the best I can. I worked harder at it than you did. And then the other, in his defensiveness, says, what do you mean? I got up at 5 o'clock this morning. I didn't see you until 8 o'clock. And then the other one says, well, at least when I got up, I did something. I didn't sit around and read the paper. And then you say, well, reading the paper is the way that I get stimulated. And then the other one says, reading the paper is the way you waste time. We do not have to play this game very long. In other words...
Thank you. Sounds like our life, but not our thoughts.
Where do you think we get our material? Now, what we are wanting, the point that we are wanting to make here with all of you, is that as you are interacting with one another, if you would really intend to look for what you are wanting to see, you would not attract into your experience in the first place anything that was less than a fantastically magnificent relationship. And if you've already attracted someone and now you're trying to clean up the mess that you've already attracted, the way that you do that is by also doggedly, in a very determined way, looking for the positive aspects in the other. But there is something at the core of this mating business that we must address. And we talked about it earlier. And that is, before you can have a good relationship with another, you must have a good relationship with yourself. Unless you are liking you, you're not going to evoke anyone else in liking you, you see. And so that is the reason in the scenario that you began with and that you wanted emphasis about. And that is the reason that we pointed out the insecurity of those teenagers, is that most of them have not found their place. They do not like who they are, and they are looking for their happiness outside of themselves, and they keep coming up empty-handed, you see. And so making this decision that you are very good as you are, and that somebody out there will be able to find you appealing and attractive and stimulating or whatever, that is the way you go about it. You're wanting to speak?
Yeah, I have my own experience, but I asked Mother once... how she met Daddy, and she says, well, I wanted to have you, and I was walking down the street in New York, and there was a sailor walking on the other side of the street, and I said, hey, sailor. And he said, yeah. And she says, would you like to have a baby with me? And he said, yes. And she says, we got married, and that's how that happened. Well, they came in with Mother knowing exactly what she wanted, and I don't think Daddy knew what happened. But theirs was a tumultuous experience. All I remember through my childhood, if Mother or Daddy was home, were things crashing on the wall, plates and pots and pans hitting the wall, and furniture flying around the house and screaming and yelling, and then Mother would be gone for 2 or 3 years, and us kids would try to talk Daddy into getting another wife, and he wouldn't pay any. He'd wait for Mother to come back. Sometimes she'd be 3 years before she'd show up again. And he'd say hi, and away they'd go, throwing things again. But they went on till the very end, you know, that way. But they were, I guess, perfect mates for each other. Is that why they kept waiting for one another, coming back to one another?
Neither of them was very much wanting a relationship. In other words, both of them were seekers of freedom. Your mother satisfied her intention very early. She met someone that provided her the option to have the children that she wanted, and beyond that, she did not really have any usefulness for the relationship.
There was no more sex after the 3 children.
It was then an experience of focusing upon lack, and it was lack of freedom that they were both focused upon, and that is the reason that they were apart so much, you see, and together so rarely.
So there can be relationships that go on that a person would class as could be classed as a perfect relationship.
You see, what happens to you is as you hear negative stories about relationships, there it is again. You are warned. They say, watch out for this and watch out for that. And what you want is a partner that will do this or a partner that will do that. And so you go about the attraction of your mate from the negative position of warning. And very often attract into your experience the very thing that you did not want. And then you spend most of your relationship trying to then deal with or cope with the negative side of your relationship.
Well, my earlier attraction, looking for a mate, they had to be under 5 feet tall and weigh under 98 pounds because, as an acrobat, I had to be able to throw them high and catch them. And so everyone I chose to be with had to fit within that, and there are other things fell in behind that, but first came under 5 feet and under 98 pounds. And then when I met Esther, much years later, none of that was relevant anymore. And so the other things attracted me to Esther. She was the perfect mate at the time she came into my life, just as the little bitty person was the perfect mate in the earlier stages of my life. But we're changing, so what would be the perfect mate? I mean, could change along the way. So in response to what Dorit was saying earlier, as far as monogamy or being with the one person forever, could be pretty challenging if you as an individual were wanting to change.
Let us define the perfect mate. The perfect mate is one who makes me feel better about me, best about me. The perfect mate is one who evokes in me a feeling of well-being. And that would pretty much define what we would consider to be the perfect mate, because nothing else matters. As long as the other is evoking in you the feeling that you are good, or that you are as you want to be, then you have the perfect mate. Now, if you're wanting to stretch it out into behavior, the perfect mate must be able to do this, or must be able to do this, or must look like this, or must look like that, then it gets very complicated, because then you have all sorts of other factors that you have to consider and unravel and all that sort of thing. But when you say the perfect mate is one that makes me feel good, then you would come to the conclusion, and I as the perfect mate must be one that makes the other feel good. And then what is the process to that? Look for what you are wanting to see in one another, evoking from one another what makes you feel good, and then you have what we would call the perfect relationship, one that is continually unfolding. You are right. As you are walking through this data of life experience, you are continually introduced to a whole new range of ideas of things that you might want to participate within. And within all of those, there are the options of that which will make you feel good or the options of that which will make you feel bad. But when as two coming together, you have already practiced and got into the groove, as you say, of focusing upon what you are wanting to see, then any adventure that you embark upon becomes a very easy adventure for you, you see, because you have been practicing every day of your life of looking for the positive aspects in one another. Most relationships are very good in the beginning. Why? Because both of you are hoping for good things in the other. Then as you are together after a little while, you get too smart. You see a flaw. And as you see the flaw, and you focus upon it, and your friends start warning you about it, and you begin to exaggerate by virtue of your attention to it, then this flaw just gets bigger and bigger and bigger until eventually it can be a flaw that is so big that you say, I cannot live with this one anymore. I cannot stand it. A flaw that you say wasn't there when we got married or when we first came together. You have changed, you say. And we say, and why do you think that has occurred? What do you think would cause something to begin to come forth in someone? Attention to it, you see. Why do you think a perfectly healthy body would begin to be sick? Why do you think someone who is slender would begin getting fat? It is attention to, you see. And so you as a co-creator must be willing to recognize that your attention to what you do not like in the other is evoking the thing that you do not like from the other. You look troubled.
Well, from my adult life, I've had a tough time trying to understand. I've tried to evaluate so much what was natural or right for me by looking at the other beasts that roam the planet.
Big mistake.
Yeah.
There is so much diversity.
You say that, but yet I cannot see that I am very much the same as the chicken on my front porch. We both have two legs and two wings and two eyes and so on. And I see the creatures, like one elephant runs off all the other male elephants, and he's got all the ladies to himself. And one rooster, I mean, you just can't get enough hens for one rooster. I mean, that he'll be satisfied with another rooster around. The other rooster has to go, and so on. And so, in trying to understand what's right for us, for us as mating, I've often wondered, is there a natural thing? Would the breed of the human animal become stronger and more powerful, the same as what you see in the other animals or creatures, by the strongest one getting to be the one that mates, or the brightest one, or whatever gets to do it? Is there a natural mating number for us? In other words, the Mormons believe that a large number, I don't think they had any limit, whatever you could afford. And then there are certain groups that four. I think the Mohammed said four. The Prophet said four. You were the male was
allowed. Actually, if you're wanting to know the perfect amount, it is seven.
But now I'm raised in a culture that really belittles anyone that believes in more than one at a time. I mean, they really think that's dumb and not intelligent. So, what do you have to say about that?
Seven, we already told you.
Oh,
seven.
Okay.
Let us talk for just a moment here, for we're wanting to get it into the proper perspective. What you are saying to us is that on the face of this earth, that there are many peoples who have different ideas about what is appropriate regarding the subject of mating.
My question is, what is natural?
What is natural is a state of joy. What is natural is a state of growth. And what is natural is a state of freedom. And those desires can be satisfied whether you have one mate or 20. In other words, the number of mates does not determine whether you can have that or not. Your decision to have one or 20 is, as you say, a cultural thing. And it is a cultural thing based upon practicality. Now, that is hard for you to understand. At the time that they decided that God had decreed that it was appropriate for one man to take many wives, it was simply a matter of there not being enough population among their numbers. And there were many more women than there were men, and so the only practical thing to do was to assign more women to the men. You see what we are saying? And through your civilizations, there have been many situations where the men who were the warriors have involved themselves in great wars, have nearly eliminated their numbers to the point where there were many, many more women than there were men, and so by a practical nature, you came together. Now, as your culture has evolved, as it has, you are not so much in that situation. You are, for the most part, pretty much equal in numbers, and so your society, by virtue of its wanting to find its balance, has now decreed laws that say it is actually illegal for you to do anything other than have one at a time. And what we are wanting you to understand is that whenever you try to make it more than just what is the actual practicality of your species, then you are in the mode of manipulating and controlling only to serve your own interests. What is natural is for you to do the thing that will bring the most of you the greatest satisfaction and happiness at any point in time. And we promise you that if you were living in a society, let us say that something happened, you may choose what it is, your imaginations are greater than ours are regarding the subjects of devastation, and you are the only man that has survived. There are 300 or 400 women. You are the only man that has survived. It is our absolute knowing that no matter what your beliefs are right now about the appropriateness or the inappropriateness of interacting with the others, that under those conditions you would very suddenly have a different idea of what was now the most appropriate situation. And that is what we are wanting you to hear. There is not the right and wrong that has been scribed in the sky somewhere. It is that which is most appropriate unto the conditions based upon the desires and the beliefs that I now hold. Now, we are not saying that you might have to set aside some old beliefs. We are not saying that there would not be a tremendous adjustment on the part of your mate. But we are knowing that as each of you focus upon that which is most important, that you would find a way of having your cake and eating it too, as you have said. You would find the way. You are following? The reason that you are confused about the subject of, here we are back upon the subject of sexuality or how many partners you should have or so on, is because you have become a people that is manipulated by those who are wanting to control you. There are so many who, for whatever reason, are wanting you to behave in a certain way because they are afraid of the risk. They have not understood that they are the creator of their experience. They still think that what you do will affect them. And so they want to control you in a way that you cannot have an adverse effect upon them, you see. And we would say, forget any physical law that exists upon your planet and simply allow yourself to be guided by the greater law, the law of attraction, and seek that which is blissful and joyful unto you. And you will never find yourself in a situation that is unpleasant or uncomfortable. Not ever. And so many of you are hoping for some cataclysm where you are the only man and 300 women. We are here.
Well, the devastation wasn't that.
Abraham, I want to go back and clear up something. I want about the perfect mate. Did I understand you to say that the perfect mate is one who makes me feel good about myself or best about myself?
Correct.
My framing of that is that I would have to be already feeling good about myself, that someone else feeling making me feel good about myself would be coming from a place of lack.
Also, you're saying to us, in order to attract the perfect mate, you must be one yourself.
I would have to already be good at, feel good about myself, so that individual is not someone who would make me feel good about myself. I would already be that way, or I would be operating from a position of lack, would I not?
You would. Law of attraction would cause it to come forth. But you see, none of us are any, we're speaking more of you as physically focused beings. None of you are ever in the position where you are always feeling one way or another. In other words, you don't always feel good about yourself. But if you could predominantly feel good about yourself, then you would have greater potential of attracting someone who predominantly felt good about themselves. And as you have attracted someone that predominantly feels good about themselves, then they would attract it from you and you would attract it from them, and you would have a very happy interchange, you see.
But the expectation that I were to go, so to speak, looking or attracting, whatever that radar type thing is I put out, for someone to make me feel better about myself would not work.
Oh, we're not talking, no, because then you are coming from a place of lack. In other words, as you say, I don't like myself very much, and so I'm wanting the perfect mate so that then I can like myself. You see, that is the point of looking for positive aspects. there is always this crevasse of lack when you say, here I am, but there is where I want to be. That crevasse of lack causes you to stay where you are instead of where you are wanting to be. Whereas you are focusing upon your own positive aspects, then you diminish the crevasse of lack and you can just broaden into what you're wanting. Are you following that?
I left that process in there. Then by the same token, if I held on to someone who, because they made me feel good when I was around them, rather than me feeling good to begin with, I'm still in a position of lack, and I'm still not
complete. In other words, you were not inspired to feeling good about yourself by their feeling good about you? That is what creates what you are calling dependent relationships. In other words, when someone else makes you feel good, and then when they go away, you no longer feel good, and so then from your position of lack, you think that you're wanting them. But ordinarily, there is so much that comes before any of that. And usually in that sort of relationship, you don't feel very good about yourself most of the time. That is what happens when we say, that is when you say, something is better than nothing. And nothing is the only real lack. And something is less than that, you see. Let us move on.
While I'm moving this to Dorit, let me ask you this. Since all of us have everything within us, couldn't we, if there were only two people on the earth, no matter who that other person was, no matter who it was, couldn't we create in that or find within that the perfect mate?
Correct. Are the papers on the desk or are they not? What is the reality? Is this person really a rascal, or is this person a glorious being to be with? In other words, it is your strength, your decision, your determination to look for what you're wanting to see that makes the difference, you see. Now, we feel your defensiveness when we are saying this, because in relationships, we know that if you have someone that is very negative or very angry or very despondent or very anything that you turn negative emotion and is right there in your face all of the time, we know that it is not as easy for you to feel positive emotion. Just as you were saying earlier, when you're feeling the pain, when your toe is throbbing, it isn't as easy. We know that it is harder once you are in a negative place to get in a positive place. But we also know that every night that you sleep, you have had separation from that. And in the morning, if you will make a new decision, that you can start a new attraction, you see. But we are saying these words to you again and again with none of you very practiced at that. You haven't tried it. If you had had a week of that sort of experience, then you would be hearing us in a different way right now. You are following?
Is that why you said that in a week we'll get more out of this workshop than today?
That is correct. 1 week from today, much that you have heard today will begin to make sense to you. You will begin to attract circumstances and events that will breathe life into these hollow, empty words that you are hearing today. Who is wanting to speak upon the topic? Let us see your hands. Let us move here.
I didn't get to speak yet. Somebody that I consider real wise, when asked about how do you know that it's a perfect mate, what she said, if that person bring the best and the worst in you. He said the worst in order for you to be able to see it and polish it and clear it up, and the best because that it's what it's all about.
That is sort of the way life in general is, isn't it? You have continual options, and we are in agreement that that you never are clearer about what you do want than when you are face to face with what you do not want. But we would never agree that a perfect mate is someone that brings out the worst in you.
Just very quickly, Abraham, and just out of curiosity, it's my observation that the family of Abraham doesn't really attract young, single, available men very often.
It is not. That is
why
not
is that?
That is not the work of the family of Abraham.
Okay, well, I was just wondering because...
Why are you wanting to give the responsibility for that to us?
No, not the responsibility, but I'm just curious to know if the female is more in tune with...
Not necessarily.
No, okay.
We're not going to give you any leverage to focus upon what you do not want.
Okay, well, all right, thank you.
It all exists, you see. And so as you look around and you say, no young, single, available men here, you are looking at lack. Instead, as you say, what I'm seeing here is a group of people who are really wanting. This is a gathering of students. This is a gathering of those who are really wanting to know. And what I would like is that those who are students really wanting to know, who are young and single and available, I would like to attract some of those to this gathering and then watch what happens at the next conference. As you look around and say they're not here, you will not attract them to the next conference. But as you look around and say they're not here, but oh, I am so much wanting them to be here, and you envision one sitting on the front row, one sitting on the back row, one sitting beside you. Everywhere you look, there is another one. Here is one, there is one. You may attract enough to satisfy all of those. You're one. Who is next?
Here, I could, let me take it through the front, please.
I'm wondering if there's not more to it than what we've covered, because I'm thinking specifically of my experience. I was very young when George and I married, not so much in age, but young in experience. And I don't remember feeling very good about myself at all. I remember that I really wanted to be loved. I wanted to find somebody who would love me.
Which is another way of saying, I wanted to find someone who would see positive aspects in me.
Exactly.
Because that is what love is.
Exactly. And so I attracted George. I believe, though I can't speak for him, I believe that he probably felt very much the same, in that he didn't feel particularly good about himself, but was also looking for someone who would find positive aspects in him.
And so you were the perfect couple, were you not?
But it seems to me that there was more to it. It seems to me that there were other reasons that we were brought together. Now, is that only in this case, or is that...
Other reasons such as what?
It almost feels as if it could not have been any other way. Like we are parts of the same spirit.
You are.
That... were supposed to be connected this time.
It is not a matter of it supposing to be, because there are many parts of your spirit that you are not currently involved in that sort of relationship with. Many of you who are here in this room are part of that same sort of connectedness, even though you are not living together or working together or that sort of thing. What you recognized within, you see, do you remember how you felt when you met? Do you remember the positive, the powerful positive emotion that both of you felt?
Yeah.
That was your inner being, each of you mutually recognizing that this was the perfect or very good action to take, that it was in harmony with much that you were wanting.
Well, throughout the years, our intentions have somewhat changed. I mean, the basic intention doesn't change. You still want to be loved. But
what you want is to love. That is the basic intention. You are a little confused about that, as most are, but what you want is the feeling of love coming out of you. And if another evokes it, then you think that you are being loved.
Well, I know that now, but I didn't know it then. And we've both changed, we've both grown, and still there is something that I cannot name, something I can't put words on, that has held us together through some things that would have broken other people apart.
It is the wanting to be together. It is that there is more that you are wanting. You have been those who have focused upon the positive aspects of your experience rather than the negative. And the positive aspects have so much outweighed the negative that the negative do not even matter, you see.
Well, yes, there were some times I remember thinking that, that this is pretty bad, but what I really want is to stay together. Okay.
With 5 more minutes.
You're wanting to speak?
Yes, I am. This is the subject that I seem to split my energy the most on, is finding the perfect mate, because it seems like as much as I can see positive aspects of having a perfect mate, I've got justifications why it doesn't work and all those kinds of things. And I'm wondering if you can maybe help me with some thoughts, some new stimulation, maybe that, and put it in a different way that would help me see new positive aspects of having the perfect mate in the relationship.
We would say that you are as most beings. You are knowing all of the reasons why you don't want to be without the perfect mate. In other words, you have a lot more reasons of what you know you don't want than reasons of what you know you do want. In other words, you have been looking from a perspective of lack for longer than you have been looking from a perspective of what you are wanting. And so we would say, begin by saying, I'm wanting to attract into my experience the perfect mate. Now, do you?
Yes.
Do you really seek a mate?
Yes.
You are wanting a mate to interact with. Are you understanding why?
For the feeling of love.
You're wanting to interact with someone because you're wanting the feeling of love to be evoked from you, and you're wanting a subject or a target upon which to direct your love. What else?
Intimacy.
You're wanting the glorious deliciousness of the physical experience. What else?
Companionship.
You're wanting someone who is a friend, someone that is fun, someone who seeks adventure, someone who wants to laugh at the things that you are wanting to laugh at, that sort of thing. You have launched, long before today, a very powerful creation. Now all you have to do is keep your eyes open for it and stop being so guarded about it. Stop giving so much attention to what you know you don't want. Just exaggerate, add emphasis, talk every day to yourself about what you're wanting. As you get up in the morning and beat on your chest, say to yourself, today I'm going to see evidence of the coming of my perfect mate. Today I'm going to look under every rock and under every corner and under every whatever. I'm going to keep my eyes open for that perfect mate. Today I'm going to find, or at least get closer to, that perfect mate. And then you have awakened your guidance system. You have stated what you want. Your guidance system is aware. You walk into a room full of people. You find yourself inspired to go and talk to that one. Then you say, not that one. That one doesn't look the way I want. And we say, now you're right back in the arena of lack. That one may lead you to one who will lead you to one who will lead you to one who will lead you to one. You cannot see the path that is before you, you see. If you will follow the positive emotion, you will very swiftly be drawn to, as the, you see, that other one is out there looking for you. He was in the session we had last Friday. He is saying, where is she? And you are saying, where is he? And we are saying, we will not play Cupid. Law of attraction does a very good job of that. As each of you focuses upon what you are wanting, the connection must be, you see, for as you said, it can be no other way.
Maybe right under your nose. In my case, it was.
Mating is co-creating. Co-creating is the same as soul creating. Identify what you want, pay attention to the way you feel, and you will be guided to that which you seek. Look for the positive aspects in everyone you see. As you see in another a quality that you do not want, so you say, not that one, not that one, you are closing a door that is keeping all from coming, because a critical attitude about them is keeping all of them away from you. As you begin to say, positive aspect there, positive aspect there, positive aspect there, positive aspect there, you attract to you the one that has all of those positive aspects. You see the way it works? In your pickiness, be picky, be a selective sifter, but look for what you are wanting. Don't guard yourself of what you are not wanting. Never make the statement, I don't like that one, I don't want that one. Make statements such as, ooh, that is a nice one. Ooh, I like the attitude there. Ooh, that one is very beautiful. Those sorts of things. And as you focus upon positive aspects of others, even if they are already connected to another, look for the positive aspects. And by doing that, you attract that into your experience, you see. Your mate is very near you. We are not talking in terms of proximity. We are talking in terms of time. Be expectant. We've enjoyed very much this interaction. What fun we are having. We are complete.
Shall we, yes. I'm sorry, I can't hear you. That fits in. Let's take 15. Okay. Want to take 15 or 20? 15 minutes and we'll be back.
Okay.